Third verse, two from the first.
Yeah, once you get locked right here. Third Verse Extra Podcast, episode number
19.
Going down the most major ways. We got Thomas Quinlan of Hanslow Records, all the way live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah, we do.
This is an interview that I had done previous to the podcast, a few months before we started the podcast, maybe a couple months.
Yeah.
And the content is super awesome. It's not dated, so we thought we'd throw it up.
Yep.
This week, Thomas Quinlan, super awesome. He's done a lot for Canadian hip hop with Hanslow Records, and a lot of writing with various publications, including Exclaim Magazine, reviewing records for many years, and into his own zines and things like that. He's put up some of the best records.
Agreed.
Crystal Senate EP with Moke Olney on the flip. Amazing record.
Basements of Bad Men series.
Basements of Bad Men series. Lots of things. We talk about all of that. Talk about the Halifax hip hop scene and him reaching out from Toronto to connect with that.
The differences in how running a label then versus now is such a huge thing. Like, I thought that was interesting when you asked him a question about the how would you reach out? You know what I mean? At this point, 20 years ago, there wasn't
the same ways of reaching out to people and doing things that there is now. You got to just look for phone numbers and cold call people in those days, which is really cool. It's a really cool interview. I'm really happy that we're throwing it up. I always thought since I recorded it and we started this that we should get it up and get it on there. So it's just me doing it solo.
Yeah,
but it's super, super awesome content. So we hope you really enjoy it. As always, mega shouts to 309 Heads for the dope illustrations, ugsmag.com for hosting us each and every week.
Yeah, and Factor for the theme song.
Yeah, always Factor on the beat, on the intro. Make sure you check the radio show, CFCR 90.5 FM, every Wednesdays, 9 to 10:30 Central Standard Time. Check it on the CFCR Worldwide app.
And on the website, cfcr.ca.
We're out. Enjoy. Peace. I'm joined with Thomas Quinlan of Hanslow Records, and he's celebrating 20 years of putting out great Canadian indie hip-hop music. And welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. So 20 years in the game. You must have a lot of stories and a lot to say. 1996 started things off with Basements of Bad Men Volume 1. How did that come about? I assume you're from, are you from Toronto? Is that correct?
Sort of. I'm actually originally from Sudbury.
All right.
I went to school at York University in Toronto. So I've been here since then, which is still, I guess, regardless, a weird place to decide to do something about Halifax hip hop.
Yeah.
But I guess it's just for me, when I discovered like Maestro Fresh Wes and Mishi Me, and realized that there's, a Canadian hip-hop scene there. Being a Canadian, I just sort of felt pride in trying to find more of that kind of stuff. And in that process, I stumbled across Hip Club Groove and Stinkin' Rich, now Buck 65. And they kind of exposed me to what was going on in the Halifax hip-hop scene. At the time, I was doing a fanzine, it's sort of, I guess, in a way I used it to find out a lot more, I guess, about the Halifax hip hop scene by interviewing a lot of the people that were involved. So they were able to kind of, through them, expose me to other people, other releases I should be checking out. And I just kind of became so, obsessed, I guess,
with
the Halifax scene. It was a big influence on me, I guess, in a way, in the way I sort of saw hip hop after that. And so when the idea sort of came into my head to do a record label, it just seemed natural that should sort of be where I wanted to go with it. Just they were doing their thing in Halifax. I just kind of figured if, you know, I'm a label based in Toronto, even if I don't get it anywhere else, at least I can, you know, help bring some of the Halifax sound to Toronto, get them to out to a few people here. But yeah, luckily it was embraced a lot better than, I guess I expected.
Definitely, definitely it was. So yeah, that's interesting. I guess, yeah, Hip Club Groove and the early Stinkin' Rich stuff on Murder Records would probably be my earliest introduction to the Halifax scene, things that popped up out west for sure. Internet fairly new back then. How'd correspondence go, and how did you seek out people?
I guess I don't even remember how I made. Well, no, I do. I guess now the first release that I really got and wanted to delve into was Hip Club Groove. To me, they were just a big thing. Like I listened to them all the time, and so when I started doing my fanzine, it seemed I guess basically Hip Club Groove was the easiest people to be able to make contact with out there. They had an established record label that they were on, which was Murder Records. So I was able to find a contact number for Murder Records, probably even just on one of the albums, I bet. I gave a call to Murder Records, asked about being able to talk to someone from Hip Club Groove. They hooked me up with Derek McKenzie. And then he was pretty much my in, I guess, to the scene. Through him, he was able to connect me with Stinkin' Rich, who I think was my next interview in that, and then 6-2, and then Witch Doc Joe Run. And at that point, I had that's a pretty good selection of like some of the main players that were there. So when it came time to do Basement to Bad Men, it was just a matter of reaching out to those few people and, you know, seeing if they could reach out to their people. Like basically, Buck 65 and Witch Doc Joe Run were kind of the two heads of their camps, I guess, in a way. So since I had both of them, it was easy to just have them reach out to each of their groups of people and send me a whole bunch of stuff. So in a large way, it was probably a lot of the collection of music was really came down to Buck 65 and Witch Doc Joe Run, and then I just kind of selected what I wanted out of a lot of that. Cool. I did have a few requests as well with certain people about you know, certain songs. Like I really had to get Shaken Awake and a Breaking Them Up on there from Joe Run, even though that was on one of their compilations already out in Halifax. I just loved that song. So
yeah,
it's a few little things where I was like, I need this song.
Yeah, just to give it a little more attention, kind of spread it wider, kind of thing.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Like I figured, you know, it's not like most people outside of Halifax, which is where I would primarily, based in Toronto, be trying to sell it, would have heard that song at that point anyway. So yeah, it was... it wasn't like I was going to be just having a compilation of music that everybody had already heard.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, I remember seeing Basements of Bad Men, the first CD in stores at my local Sam the Record Man here in Saskatoon. And regrettably, I didn't buy it. I only bought cassettes then. I didn't have a CD player. And so I definitely... regret it to this day not purchasing that one.
That's so funny because I heard a story recently that I guess Wordbird are sort of talking about the 20th anniversary and buying the first Basements of Bad Men. For him, it was like the exact opposite being in Halifax and all of the Halifax stuff coming out on tape, he was just, for him, it was exciting that, hey, a Halifax thing on CD. And so that's what convinced him to buy it.
Yeah, it was the exact opposite for me. I was like, well, that's on CD. I don't have a CD player and I only buy tapes, so I don't know any of these artists really, so you know, it's just unfortunately that one passed through my fingertips. Never again though, you know, you make one mistake in your life and you don't make it again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's hard to know, you know, like you said, you didn't know any of the people on there, so yeah, why are you going to pick it up? You know, that was, in a way, really the insurmountable issue with that release. It was trying to get people to know who they are.
Yeah, I must have honestly picked it up a half dozen times though and looked at it.
Nice.
So I don't know if that means anything. I my intuition was trying to tell me something, but for some reason I just didn't pick that one up, because around the same time that's when Penis and Corn cassettes started showing up at our local Sam the Record Man, and those are things I would purchase because they're on cassette, right? So if you would have the cassette as well, I would have that in the collection to this day. But
yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't actually end up doing a cassette until we did Cock Dynamics.
Yeah.
I guess about probably four albums later or something, and yeah, that was my only cassette release, and wanted to kind of play around with that.
For sure, it's got to be one of the earlier Canadian indie CDs that I can think of being released. So that says quite a bit there too. I think most people, pressing tapes and records at that time. So Word Burglar said, I'd seen that interview where he's talking about that experience of seeing it on CD and being like, whoa, like this is the Halley scene on CD. I got to get this. So that's kind of pretty cool that you got one of the first for sure in that genre of hip hop for sure.
Yeah, and to be honest, I don't even really know why I decided. Like, most of the stuff that like that indie stuff that I was picking up was all kind of cassettes and everything anyway.
Yeah.
I have no idea why I thought, yeah, maybe I better do this on CD. But yeah, that's just sort of what happened. Maybe it was seeing a lot more of the indie rock scene.
Because
that was a lot of also what I was sort of witness to. And so that was a lot of like CD type stuff. So maybe that just sort of, I connected the two together, and there we go.
Everywhere, all around me, people, they be just be talking all about the camp as if their bike is gonna rust if they don't begin to pedal. Cause when rain hits the metal, the parts that are wet'll corrode. The drops settle, but there's no rain falling from the pink and orange sky turning blue twilight. But panic is the highlight on the 6 o'clock broadcast. And every day now, file picks the lock, and now the big chains get sawed past. And I'm a no helmet wearing member of the Tour de France bike race. And the cop at the border wants to see my passport photo to make a copy for me to autograph. And my bike is a jalopy, so I can't see myself winning. And I decide to pace myself from the beginning. I'm not Russian, I'm not a German Nazi. I look to the sky and see stars like the paparazzi. I concentrate on the campground. I can't see the big and yellow dashes in the middle of the road because it's covered in ashes 2 inches deep, making for treacherous conditions, poor visibility and rising suspicions. I know I'm not in hell, I don't hear the sounds of defunct, but I'm trying to get my bicycle past a fallen tree trunk that's blocking the road off barricade fashion. My legs are getting tired and some other guys are crashing because of the ashes, and there's a long way to go still. I can't believe how dark it is. There's a whole lot of hills and sharp corners to navigate, and vampires in the distance. I can see the campfires. There's probably only 2 miles left for me to reach the destination. According to my estimation, I can't be getting lazy. Organizers may be spying. As I get a little closer, I can hear this baby's crying. I got loose teeth and skid marks, but those thoughts diminish as I cross the finish.
Guess how do you go from being a rap fan, you know, through the 90s, you know, 80s and 90s, and then to starting a label? Like, that's kind of you know, usually it's a progression of being an artist, and and you know, then you okay, I got to put my music, I got to create a label. There's not many people I can think of creating just a label to put out music. Was that, you know, how does that happen, or what, how does that kind of occur?
I really don't know when it sort of started. I don't really know if there was any kind of thought in my head of for a while of me wanting to do a record label or anything. All I really remember, I guess, is getting 3 years of tax returns all done at one point in time.
Classic.
I just hadn't done them, so suddenly, you know, I was getting out of university.
Yep.
My dad did all my taxes for me, and so then I just, for the first time ever, I had a decent chunk of money that I could do something with, and so then I was just like, well, what do I want to do with this money? And two things that were just really quick to sort of come to me is what I wanted to do was buy some turntables.
Yep.
And a mixer and learn to DJ, or start a record label and put out some music. I think probably just because I was so interested in just the indie scene, both indie rock, indie rap, and, you know, just, I guess maybe won't, somehow maybe I wanted to just get involved in that way. And I knew that there's a lot of people who just stuff that I've been hearing that was just really amazing that isn't really struggling, I guess, to basically get out there. And so it just seemed to me that the best way I could spend my money would be to do that. You know, it'd basically be me starting up a business, which I assumed would make some money, and eventually the turntables that I didn't buy, I could buy and then learn to DJ at that point.
Yep.
Unfortunately, I still don't have turntables, so I guess the focus has just remained with the record label.
Word up. Well, that's a good thing for all of us listeners, and I guess in one way, maybe the DJ thing could have been amazing too for us listeners. Who knows where that, I guess that would have
yeah.
been.
It would have been fun, I think, in a way. But I mean, I've done some radio shows and things.
Yeah.
Like I was a host at on Lord Knows What, and then for a little while, I was host. And I don't really want to consider it a DJ since I couldn't really beat match and stuff. I'd like to say maybe just a human jukebox. But you know, I mean, I got to kind of play around in that realm a little bit, and so that was fun and whatever. But yeah, I'm not in any way kind of disappointed in the decision I made. And I'm sure along the way, I could have taken some money and buy the turntables and learn how to DJ. But it's just, you know, that money just kept going back into doing more music and more records.
Definitely. Well, that's we're all benefiting from that. So 20 years in the game, you just put out your latest release, Basements of Badman Volume 3, a double mm-hmm. CD, which is... I'm, you know, kind of shocked to see a double CD in 2016. it's kind of amazing and kind of super awesome in a lot of ways. Did the double CD just come because of the amount of tracks you got submitted, or was it something you set out to do?
Well, to be honest with you, I kind of hate double CDs.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel that in many ways, a double CD is more music than you really need from, like, usually from an individual. Like, I don't want any rapper, any musician, band, whatever, giving me two albums worth of stuff, because in general, it's probably got a lot of filler in there. It's, you know, it's too much of one person. I'm kind of... It wasn't really something that was an easy thing to jump into my head, or that I was kind of like, yeah, I want to do a double CD. But then I did get, like you said, a lot of music, and it seemed wrong to sort of cut a lot of that out. And a lot of what I wanted to do with the album was the idea of people working together, collaborations and stuff. And so it just kind of felt like limiting it to what would potentially be one CD's worth of music didn't allow for a lot of the mixes of what could possibly happen between the different individuals that I guess make up elements of Ansola Records over the last 20 years. So it's I guess I started thinking about how to kind of deal with it, and it seemed like if I was ever going to release a double album, it sort of made sense to do it at this 20th anniversary stage for a compilation. It just sort of seemed like the right thing to do, I guess, in a way, for this anniversary, like something big. And then I kind of liked the idea as well of it having two CDs of 20 tracks each to go along with the 20th anniversary kind of idea. So then at that point, it was just like, okay, that's what I'm going to work towards, is having it like that. At times I do kind of feel like, or I worry, I guess, is it excessive? Did I, you know, it's 40 songs, way too much. But be it as it may, that's what I've done. And I hope that it, it's just a good bunch of music for people to listen to.
Yeah, I think people who are, definitely purchasing the album in this day and age, who are purchasing physical copies, they know what they're getting to. They're fans, and they're, I know I'm excited about it. I had a couple of friends at the show, the release party, and they grabbed me one of the CDs. So,
excellent!
I'm definitely
there's excited. A bonus track on there.
Yes, on the CD. Yes, there is.
Yeah.
I propose to her. Someone to talk too much of a degenerate and a bender mix. Someone too real for real. When I broke the yoke, I had to take the hand. Be a man, never look back, but we look both ways. Nowadays, got a baby and my lady step aside. Even to my pride, see my pride that I confide intensely in a manner. Can I hear three cheers for the punk rock soccer mom? Can I hear three cheers for the saviors of a new world? Can I hear three cheers? Wedding tears for the punk rock soccer mom. Right in the drinking with the snakes again. Humble to dedication, showered appreciation. Between she and me, I believe I foresee. And let me explain and name my little eye. To lie to lie, too real to be. Except a pulse composed by the thorn and the rose, stung by the love bug standing by the sidelines.
So it's always nice to get rewarded for picking up the physical. I'm a huge fan of that, because I'm a huge fan of physical copies of music. Because I think it means a lot to have the, you know, the artwork, the everything that goes along with it.
Yeah.
as a full piece of as art presented by the artist and label and things like that. So that being said, in 2016, in the last few years, you released quite a few physical copy CDs in kind of an era where you're seeing more, vinyl only releases, with digital, and then cassette releases and things like that. Like kind of CD... not really at the forefront of indie hip hop these days. So what's kind of been the push behind that, or has there been really any thought, or just
I guess in part, like, to me, CD is still a fairly versatile
yep.
type of thing. It's there's still a lot of people have CD players, so they can use it, or they can, if you get it, it's a fairly easy thing often to be able to burn. I find that it, doesn't really take up too much space, so it can be pretty good in that way. Even if you just wanted to take all the artwork out of the case, it's easy to, have just a little bit of flatness. That's all it is.
Yeah.
But with that, and I guess at the same time, I'd like to have physical.
For sure.
So at the very least, I want to have a CD. CD is something that I can easily send to radio for them to be able to play.
With shipping costs, like, these days, CDs are definitely beneficial in that way. I know.
Yeah, exactly. And there's some stations that still won't even accept digital, right?
Yeah.
Like, they need to have a physical copy, and it's just me sending them a cassette tape isn't going to really do much good.
No.
Me sending them vinyl, that might be nice, but, that's a hard thing to really promo, because it's there's a big difference in pricing for that kind of stuff.
The cost is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. But having said all of that, you know, I do want to get into a little bit more of that kind of stuff. I'd have some plans with an artist to do something that will be like probably a free digital release with a cassette that you can buy.
Nice.
You know, I do want to get into some more vinyl if I can. Just, you know, it's a matter of, I guess, finding the right project for that.
100%.
So, I mean, it's not, I guess it's not that I'm only in love with CD. But I mean, for the last little while, vinyl hasn't really been an easy thing to sell. So making a bunch of stuff in that and then having it just piled up in my place can be pretty difficult. So it's good to see that vinyl's coming back again, because that's definitely something that in the past I've done a fair bit of and would love to be able to do some more of it for sure. I mean, vinyl is just so beautiful to have.
Oh, definitely my preferred medium of choice, I think, for a lot of people it is. But
And I mean, especially too now, right? Like, I mean, I don't really play my records a huge amount, but I would still rather buy it on vinyl and be able to sort of, you know, just download the thing. If I'm going to download the music anyway, at least with vinyl, you know, it's a nice thing that you can display if you want, put it up in a nice one of those record frames and stuff, and you know, they'd look good.
Definitely looks good. So 20 years is quite a long time for anything.
Yes.
especially a Canadian indie hip hop label. What do you got? Thinking back on things, would you do anything differently in those 20 years, or are you happy with the way things unfolded and progressed, or just unfolded and progressed how it did? Because that's, you know, how it did based on a million factors along the way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure along the way there's plenty of different little things that I kind of would have been happy maybe if they went in a different way. There's a bunch of releases maybe that didn't end up working out for different reasons that, you know, might have been kind of cool to happen. There's about a year and a half in there where I don't think I ended up releasing anything at all.
Yeah.
Mostly because I was more focused on doing my podcast show and stuff like that. So, you know, here and there, like coming back from, say, for example, that break where I took a bit of time and wasn't really releasing anything, you know, putting out that next album, which was Basements of Bad Men 2, you know, it was almost, again, like because of that bit of a hiatus, it was like not exactly like starting over, but I was a few steps back again, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, yeah, I guess maybe I would say I would have maybe not taken such a long break in that point of time, or tried to make sure I was at least putting something out. But mostly just, you know, little things that I don't know if they would have really made much of a difference, but, you know, would have just maybe been meaningful to me, I guess.
You've said that your favorite release is Basis of Batman Volume 1. Is that correct? Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I would say that's true.
Okay, my favorite release is the Moke Only 6-2 Crystal Senate EP.
Nice.
I think that record is perfect in so many ways, and I think it went a long way in capturing, a real important time in Canadian hip-hop history, and kind of did what it, I think what you were kind of setting out to do was kind of bridge that coastal gap and did a good way in exposing a whole bunch of people to, you know, Moke Only and a whole bunch of people to 6-2. And I just think that was an incredible, incredible release. And thank you so much for putting that one out. I'm a huge,
awesome.
huge fan.
I love that you kind of had mentioned that, you know, you, I guess, think that it the way it came together is really good, considering, like, it was mostly just fell together like that. I mean, the idea definitely was from the beginning to have these two different people from different areas that had completely different fan bases.
Yeah.
You know, most likely neither, the fans of neither of them knew the other. And I think that one of my main focuses always with Han Solo Records, right from the very beginning and consistently it will remain into the future, is the idea of trying to bring together people from just different areas and trying to like network them together to be able to feed off of each other's fan base and be able to create, I think, a bigger scene. And so knowing that there's only so many people in Canada that you can really sell hip hop to, it's crazy to not try to, you know, branch out to as many of those people as you possibly can. And, you know, having each of these people helping to, I guess, expose to their fan base, I think is really what's kind of necessary. And instead of, you know, like a lot of people are trying to, or I guess a lot more rappers try to, kind of keep their stuff to themselves in a way. And it's mm-hmm. just like, I think overall, if you know, if you open up and you share and everybody has access to all this kind of stuff and everybody works together, then we're going to have a much more successful Canadian rap scene. I mean, there's plenty of time later for, you know, infighting and whatnot once we're as a whole at a successful level. But I mean, you know, all you're really doing is just destroying chances of getting anywhere for everybody.
I escaped into the night to catch some caffeine. I'm just waiting for Ken, a fellow rap fiend. He gonna come strapped with paper and some cash scenes. And we gonna get down to cranking out the hits and discussing life's disgusting frost and its plan to scrape off the undesirable shit, man. Cause where we dwelling is the butts plus the hits ands. And all we want is you to hold the hit in your hands. I'm in the woods again, and damn it, it's strange. I gain considerable fame in these parts from a shot fired to the mic range. Night games receiving questions of what I'm doing when I ain't hitting mic. And do I have a light in my life? All this, if y'all been listening, I done stated in verses. Here's my positioning. I put a damper on my out there-ness. Cause your awareness is weird. To Mr. Moke, I wanna coast in the clear. When I step in, when I step in. The kookiest shit out at my homestead and spray the walls to get the name known. Never threw the same stone twice. We rock off kilter instead. Killer instinct for opposing crews. Nowadays, nosy crews not so concerned with the battle, but with the name they can saddle and ride off into the sunset. I wonder what he's doing right now, and maybe we can get up close and personal at some wild party spot. Ooh. But you don't know if it ain't a show, I'm low. Always been like that before rapping. Serenity and writing in unusual places. And it seems that more happens in your dreams as opposed to what my life includes. Yep. As my pen unravels the spool, I just here to maintain my cool. Cause no one knows where I live, no one knows what I do. Y'all don't know when I step in. And the rest is just a trip upstream. I build up steam and pull with the premium team. The leading cards will fly. We go on green with the best foot first. Another textbook verse for kids to cram. And there's a quiz coming class. Tell me what I've been saying. I ain't been blowing smoke, stuff. You ain't been no moke, chump. That big old throat lump. You nervous, but what I'm thinking? Good, cause in this neck of the woods, anything suckers do can become a song that ain't sober coming to the reppy. So you can try to act peppy, but let me be. Life's too short to add the extra strep on top of what I already got. It's already hot enough. In this kitchen, the only room to slide to is home on the long mile range where nobody slides through. I smoke on the front steps with nobody pointing. A solemn little slice of enjoyment. But when I step in, when I step in, after the battle, people ask us what happens when I step in. When I step in, when I step in, when I step in, when I step in, after the battle, people ask us what happens when I step in. I escaped into the night to catch some caffeine. I'm still waiting for Ken, the fellow rap fiend. He
gonna come strapped with paper and some cash scene. And we gonna get down to cranking out some hits and discussing who's been rustling through the bushes trying to get a peek. A peek of inside info, but none of that shit leaks. Two strange cats in the cafe window from the street. Y'all ain't got the slightest inkle about the elite. When I step in, when I step in, out of the rap and people asking what happened when I step in. When I step in, 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 yeah. After the rapping, people asking what happened when I step in, when I step in, I step out. Out to the night state.
Mr. Mocha only, DJ Tay Imperial, rocking it like that, ha, from the First Imperial Foundation, let's hear it.
Mr. Mocha has now left the building, ow.
Definitely.
So I mean, I guess I went off on a weird tangent
but
yeah, I mean that you know, so to me, that was really what the focus of that that 12 inch was, and despite the fact that what I was sort of specifically hoping for from it wasn't exactly what happened, you know, with them deciding they wanted to sort of do what they wanted to do for each of their sides, I am very happy with it. I do like that it's a very each side is like so different from each other, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's, this is Canadian hip hop.
It did a
indie
perfect
rap that was going on.
Yeah. It did a perfect job of capturing what was going on in Canadian hip hop at that time. It's like a perfect snapshot of some of the earlier years of Canadian hip hop. It's that record is, in my, handful of pile to grab. My house is burning. Records. If I gotta carry one handful of records, that's in that pile, because that record means that so much to me.
Oh, that's fantastic.
In so many different levels. I think it's probably the most five most important indie hip hop records in Canada ever to be released. And
awesome.
I think it's definitely withstood the test of time and continually withstands the test of time. Every time I revisit, and I revisit it a lot. Thanks so much for putting that one together, because it...
Well, thank you for having it as such an important record, and I hope that when, or I guess if your house ever burns down, I hope that that record could get you through all the after effects of that.
Yeah, for sure.
You'll be sitting there with just a turntable and that record outside, a lone tear rolling down your cheek.
Be lots of tears at that point.
Yeah.
But
I guess it'll be taking you places, though.
Yeah, I mean, if you can only take a few, I think that's one of the few I'm taking.
Nice. So, if I may ask,
yeah,
was that the first Han Solo release you might have purchased?
That is the first. Yeah, that is definitely the first. I got that, and then the Suicidal Soul LP, and then.
Mm-hmm.
Went back and found the Wildlife trilogy.
Excellent.
So it's kind of that nice. That order.
Back in my vinyl days.
Of Han Solo releases for me, yeah. Anything, you know, Canadian vinyl was like, oh man, this is Canadian hip hop on vinyl. I got to get it. I got to find it. This, you know, and those are some really, all three of those are really, really exciting, exciting releases in so many different ways. Trilogy is definitely, you know, a classic in so many levels.
I love that album, or I guess that EP maybe.
Yeah, just the way it was put together is I thought it was really clever, and just a different approach to putting out a record. And I thought that's what really struck me with that one. It wasn't your it made sense as a whole record. It wasn't just a 12 inch of songs. Like, it was like, okay, this is,
you know, like you said, you know, a really short EP.
Kind of. Well, and especially like when I had approached him about it too, like my idea was just, you know, I was just asking for a basic single, you know, like I was expecting, okay, I'm going to get two songs, the instrumental, the acapella, and that's what we're going to put together. But he was like, no, this is what I would love to do. And as soon as he presented it to me, it was like, yes, that's exactly what we have to do. It was a great idea, and I love that song. Or I guess songs.
Songs, yeah. But it is almost like one song,
the hidden bonus track too on that is just so deadly. Like, oh.
There's so much goodness coming from that one. Mm-hmm. I'd seen that you had an article talking about your 10 favorite releases from your label, and I noticed the omission on their Epic didn't make the top 10. Was he 11?
It was a hard decision in a lot of ways, and I think towards the end it started it ended up being I think a little bit more compilation type stuff. Which was easier to sort of select as being more of a mix of a lot of different things, which is kind of what, like as I was saying earlier with, you know, part of my policy, I guess, is to sort of bring a lot of different people together, which is one of the reasons why I love doing compilations and I love trying to create collaborations and things. So it becomes, I guess, a bit easier to select something like that. I'm not 100% sure if it's at 11, but definitely, I mean, Epic stuff is up in there. You know, I love the fact that I had the opportunity to be able to do that album with him. And I'm extremely happy that I was able to get a new Epic song for Basements of Badman.
Yeah, that's crazy. I was really surprised, that when I first saw the track listing for the new Basements of Badman Volume 3, I was really surprised to see Epic on there, to be honest. Just you know, him not being super active these days was like, wow, like that's really cool, like to see him on there. You know, we had the fortune of I played a show with him last summer. We got Zilso, and it was the first time the three of us played a show together since 2005 in Europe, so it was
holy jeez,
quite a big deal for the three of us to play a show together. It was kind of amazing. So
nice. Yeah it sounds like he is just it's more about doing the stuff whenever he can actually do it, and so it'll probably be rare to see him live, and even rarer to see a song from him. But it was awesome that he came through with this. I think it was just, you know, good timing in terms of being able to do this, you know.
Definitely. So I guess what's on the plate coming up for Han Solo in the next 20 years?
trying to survive, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. To be honest, for the longest time, I'm pretty much kind of, in terms of releases, just going by the seat of my pants, I guess, to use a phrase that my mom would. You know, I just kind of see things that come along here and there where I'm interested in sort of dealing with them and putting that stuff out. I hope to continue to be able to do that, and I'd love to be able to make it, I guess, another 20 years if I could do so.
Yeah, for sure.
Although I'm sure by that point in time, who knows what the record industry is even going to be like.
Yeah.
This is your brain on sunshine. Sun rays, the heat, raise the roof, roll your windows open. If you please to catch a breeze, we're cooking something fresh with a burner in the heat wave. In the heat wave.
Putting in work on a perfect day. Shirt soaked in the shade while I perspirate. Heat waves from the pavement versus late. Chirp cicadas and gaze in a purple haze. Scorching tracks when the burner plays. Pour the gas until we burn the place. Percolate, burn ash that'll hurt your face. Shot a crater through your posse like hot butane. Not too tame, keep watch for cute dames. Got boo spit, exhaust like blue flames. Stop, dude, not gonna prostitute fame. Too hot, we too great to stop, we too strange. Smash, thwip, sniggity snicked. Striking the country like picketing hits. Lickety split, tickety tick tock, you don't stop. Like lava that won't rock, the flow's hot enough to get the dregs from the basement. Cooking some eggs on the pavement with hot spit like Greek fest. Smoking like girls on Queen Street West.
Dip, dip, dive, I'm swimming to Shanghai. How cool, like moms on my meringue pie. Got the women on standby waiting just to talk to me about my feminist philosophy. When you learn to help, the girls will melt. When the racks are hot, the bra burns itself. Yeah, we turn it out and heat's the only thing we're concerned about. And that's check, I'm about to win in one turn. Lamping on a rock with my skin all sunburned. Yeah, which is the only way I surf is on a couch with the tip of my tongue putting words in your mouth.
Sweatshop, got me in a headlock. We let it pop till the block is red hot. Next stop, chopping heads off. Wanna get props, hit the guy with the guest spot.
This is your brain on sunshine. Sun rays, the heat, raise the roof, roll your windows open. If you please to catch a breeze, we're cooking something fresh with a burner in the heat wave. In the heat wave.
Sweat, sweat, work it out. Let me know what's on your mind and it don't hurt to shout. I'm on a purple drought, yeah, the green too. And these a couple things that put me in a mean mood. Would I seem rude if I rode through the club late? Didn't give you props cause of my drunk state of mind. I got problems, baby, no funds. I don't wanna get a job, I'm lazy. So I write my rhymes down, spin them with passion. Just hoping y'all can feel it, that's all I'm asking. 35 degrees and the sun is blasting. Basketball jerseys are still the fashion. I don't even know if they heard me laughing. Write the smirk on their mouth with a dirty napkin. Jay Busy got skills, I'm a world champion. Mom, I'm living in a sauna. And not a mansion.
When Tim's on the beat, even in the heat, I got Tim's on my feet. Over zebra stripes from the sandal steez. Believe the hype from the scandal sheets to get dandled on the knee.
Our tongue, it's gonna be a hot one. Got drunk last night, but I'm not done. Shotgun, don't forget some. Rope pops, stop and cop tons. Ultraviolet, violent outcomes. Get that SPF against sun. Son, have you learned a lesson? Sir, yes, certs need extra resin. So, who's bringing the heat? That melts popsicle peats into liquidy treats. Pitching the feet, then I kick on my feet. Take a trip to the beach to chill with the beat.
It's a dog day afternoon. The back crew be back burning jack to whack like baboon. In back rooms we slap hands, crack the brew, fabricate rap tunes that you can't produce. Come on.
This is your brain on sunshine. Sun rays, the heat, raise the roof, roll your windows open. If you please to catch a breeze, we're cooking something fresh with a burner in the heat wave. In the heat wave.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's so hard to predict from day to day what things are in the record industry, but I'm really glad you're putting out music. The new Ultra Magnus album, I really, really like the new their newest CD, and their I would never have been introduced to Ultra Magnus without you know, him and DJ Slam, without you putting those CDs out. So thank you, because their music's quickly becoming one of my favorite, and I'm sure it's one of your favorites if you keep, you know, putting out new albums too. So
yeah, I love those guys. I saw them do two performances at our $5 rap show. Yeah. Two nights in a row, I guess, which is about probably separated by about a month and a half. We have never, to my knowledge, outside of maybe not even. Probably the only time we've had really people perform back-to-back a $5 rap show is really just Word Burglar and More or Less, who are, yeah, you know,
kind of the host holding
their
down
show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact that we had Ultra Magnus and Slam back for a second night in a row was just amazing. And after the second show and they killed it again, it was just like, yeah, these are the guys that I've got to be doing some stuff with. And, I mean, they're good on album, but they are amazing live. Like, they just need to get out there and have people see them.
Yeah, I had the chance to play a show with them this summer here, and they're incredible. Blew my mind. Like, absolutely. Like, it was just Ultra Magnus by himself. It wasn't DJ Slam with him, but
yeah,
by himself, blew my mind. I'm like, whoa. Like, I had the first CD already and listened to it a lot, so I had a good idea. But, yeah, it's live, it's the whole another level.
Yeah, That guy has so much energy and charisma on stage. I know that they, one of the things that Slam likes to sort of compare him to is like the Incredible Hulk, where when you see him in the crowd beforehand, he's like Bruce Banner, and he's walking around, he's quiet, you know, you would never know. And then he gets up on stage and suddenly he just hulks out, and, you know, it's not that he, you know, the angrier he gets, the stronger he gets, it's, you know, the more enthusiasm he gets, the, you know, bigger he gets, kind of thing. And I think that they have a lot of good things for them ahead of them in the future, and
for sure.
I'm just happy to be a stepping stone on their way to wherever they happen to go.
That's a bang on analogy of what he is, for sure. Because before the show, he's just chilling, super chill, just, you know, and then all of a sudden grabs the mic and it's like, whoa, and you're mm-hmm. you're just blown away, because he just rips so hard, and you're like, wow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, just to see him do some of that, like, fast rap live is just, you know, it's great, because it seems like so effortless to him. I mean, he's just wandering around in the crowd while he's doing it most times.
Word. Well, I think we've taken enough of your time. I want to say thanks so much for everything, all the little stories and tidbits I love a lot. So I want to wish you nothing but success, and hopefully run into you sooner than later, and we can chop it up and go from there.
Yeah, definitely. That would be awesome. And yeah, for sure. Thank you very much for having me on the show. I don't usually get to do shows very often, because I'm more the behind the scenes guy, and I get it out there for all the artists to do. So it's cool and a lot of fun to get the chance to do this every once in a while. So thank you very much for one of these rare opportunities.
The fourth line. The fourth line. I stepped into the yard coming straight from the store. Walked across the tracks to the fourth line, where I found a grayscale freighter standing still like an open book. Blank page, time for me to get front page. I took all my cans out of my bag, set them on the ledge, popped off the tops, put new caps in the ends, opened up my book, found the design I was looking for, shook the can, started laying lines upon the floor. Step back to check perspectives and the way my outlines look, compared them to my book, whack crews get the style, shook when I cook, took another can out to start my fill, thought of color chemist with the color chemistry skills, stars and swirls, ill fills are my specialty, the remedy, all these whack taggers remember me when I start my ill mission. I boost cans from the store, then hit the yards to bomb on the line called the fourth line, bombing on the line called the four, increase the pressure, we don't want them no more, the fourth line, bombing on the line called the four, increase the pressure, the fourth line, bombing on the line called the four, increase the pressure, we don't want them no more, the fourth line, I'm bombing on the line called the four, increase the pressure, my fill was finished, cans diminished to the halfway point, started my character, this piece was gonna be the joint, alright, custom white and beige flesh tone, I'm almost home free, another hour FAME, layer upon layer of colors and lines, now it's time to start my outline, check for runs one more time, another can, a few more marks and I'm finished. How time flies when you're bombing. 6:26 a.m. the time when I was stopping. The sun was coming up so I could beat my masterpiece. I release the way TDB won't cease. Increase the pressure on these whack crews, cause we don't want them no more. I represent to the fullest on the line called the four, huh? The whack crews, we don't want them no more. So now I'm